My name is Melinda, and I am a grateful member of OA. Thanks to Malia for inviting me and all of you doing service today, and just being here at the meeting is service that counts. Thank you for the chance to share my recovery. So I walked into OA in 1990. I was maybe 20 pounds overweight, and I'd been dieting since about 8 years old. Whey and pay, those little diet candies, shakes, starving, grapefruit diet. I had exercise bulimia in high school and college. I tried throwing up after eating a whole package of dessert that it didn't take, which is the tenderest mercy of all. Lots of yo-yoing up and down and a lot of self-hate, speaking of that for today reading. I got a little curvy around 8 years old, and my mom just lost her mind. She's one of us, and just really it was unacceptable. And I thought food really soothed me. There was a crushing loneliness about not being okay in a family that was pretty dysfunctional. So in that first OA meeting in 1990, I heard people talking about God. So I grabbed the sheet that was a food plan and walked right out the door. I lost my 20 pounds, but I really had no recovery. And then if you fast forward about 12 years, maybe marriage, two beautiful children, and with each child I gained weight, and I stopped getting on the scale at 268. I'm like, I just can't even get on the scale. And I was very desperate. I could not stop eating. And that's what I look like. I don't know if you can see that, but not a happy camper. And I could not stop eating, and I'm even lying to my children at that point. We'd have dessert or something, and then overnight I'd eat the rest of it. And in the morning, the kids would be like, "Hey, can I have some?" And I'm like, "Oh, it went stale," and I threw it out. When in fact, I'd eaten it all. And because my higher power has a significant sense of humor, my bottom happened at an antique store called the Sophisticated Swine. I showed up for a client meeting. I didn't have a lot of self-care then either. I hated myself, so I had wet hair. My shirt didn't fit because I was outgrowing it, so I had to slump forward to keep the gap from showing. And I came into the antique store, the Sophisticated Swine, and the woman looked at me, and she looked at her delicate guest chair in her office, and she dragged it out and dragged in a giant heavier chair, guest chair, and offered it to me. I was so humiliated. I really just wish that the earth would open up and swallow me. And I don't remember much of that meeting, except I remember that I want to die. And I had these two, beautiful young children, and I was filled with self-hate. So I searched online and went back to OA. This was maybe 2002. And I met a sponsor who was kind and gentle and an average weight, and seemed to have this sort of, I don't know, just calm and love about her. And she said she was full, but I begged her to be my temporary sponsor, and she's still my sponsor today. She hasn't been able to shake me loose yet. She got me into another program for children of alcoholics or family members of alcoholics. I told her I didn't want to go to another plan, and she said, "I understand, it's Thursday at 10." And I went ahead and went, and she said, "You talk a lot about other people. If you can get some help for that, it'll help you stay out of the food." And she was right. She helped me find a flexible food plan. That other fellowship helped me clean up a lot of my emotional eating, which really helped. And I lost 100 pounds or so in a couple of years. And then I looked like that. And that's my beautiful son, Mitchell. And I kept that off for 5 or 6 years until my son died. He was 16. It was a traumatic. And I just went away. I went away, and I put 80 pounds or so back on, and I wish I had stayed in the rooms, because all I did was lose a chunk of my life. I just wasn't here, and I put 80 pounds back on. And a few years ago, I came back to program, and so my other before looks like. See that? About 80 pounds back on. And I've had some physical recovery since then, but I'm still on my way down. It's taken a lot longer this time, thanks to being 59 years old and menopause. However, most of the time I am happy, joyous, and free. It's true. I also go to bed abstinent, but wake up as a compulsive eater. So I have a lot of respect for this disease because I'm a bite away from being back in the madness, and I don't want to lose another chunk of my life. I have food neutrality a lot of the time, and that's in direct result of working a program that includes emotional sobriety, which I'll talk about a little bit later. I moved to San Diego a few years ago. It's good to be back home in California. This program sustained me through a very painful divorce, and that great slogan that says you can count on peace amidst the storm, not freedom from it. I find that to be very comforting. The San Diego folks here work a very different program than in Seattle, and I've learned a lot this last year. I reset my date on July 4th of last year. It was a hot mess disaster. I was alone in a new city in the middle of this terrible divorce. My daughter was mad at me at that time because of the separation. And all these families around me were having this, right, what I thought was a great time. They're all intact. Their children are all alive, right? All that. And I just had the biggest pity party I've ever had. And on July 5th of last year, I'm like, I'm going to die. I can't do this anymore. And I recommitted. And then somebody said, you're in luck. San Diego has a there's a Region 2 convention not far. Go to it this weekend. So I did that. And instead of going to Zoom meetings in Seattle, I really shifted to going to being full in with the San Diego Intergroup and started going to in-person meetings. And it really strengthened my program. I think I have 15 months today. That's the fifth. So it's imperfect abstinence. I want to be clear. If I have a slip here or there, I just tell somebody about it. I backtrack it a few days and figure out what's going on there, learn from it, and pick up and move on. I have a little list of the 10 things that have helped me the most here in this last year or so. And here they are in no particular order. OA birthday party. So I dreamed about going to that in Seattle for a long time. And once I got here, a bunch of the people here were going. So I went along. It's a game changer to be in a building filled with 800 others who get me and I get them, and we're all in it together. The variety of workshops there is staggering. It's so good. I think in-person retreats and region conferences and events really supercharge my recovery. I go to a couple every year. I learned to use the word guide instead of the word God. It helps me be more open. It's a light shift, but somebody at the OA birthday party mentioned that, and I can use that now in my prayers and not feel like a hypocrite. Guide, grant me the serenity. I also heard a speaker say that he starts every day with an empty bucket, and his whole goal for the day is to fill it with coins of gratitude. So that was a beautiful speaker at the birthday party, and I'm going this year too, probably forever. At that same birthday party, someone had a workshop about emotional sobriety, which I'd never heard of. It's a basically managing and regulating emotions. That's the gist of it. This was a new concept introduced to me, and I've learned quite a bit about it since then. They have workshops on it too. It keeps me out of the food. And Bill W. wrote a memo about it. We'll see if we can find it and stick it in the chat, but he has a two-page memo, I think, that talks all about it, sobriety. Service. I became deeply involved with our intergroup here in San Diego, and I help now help plan those events and workshops that are so wonderful to attend. I feel it helps me feel very connected to the community here. It strengthens my program and recovery in ways I can't even describe, and I feel of use, which is a nice way to give back the gift I've been given. Meditation. So I'm a pretty anxious person. I found an organized spiritual practice that focuses on meditation and mindfulness. Practicing that this last year has brought me so much peace, and self-love is replacing the self-hate, and feeling safe in the world is replacing being scared all the time, which is really just old tape from childhood. I would say it's brought my anxiety down from maybe an 8.5 down to about a 1.5. It absolutely helps keep me out of the food. No daily food tracking, and very rarely the scale. So I have a love-hate relationship with the scale. That number just makes me crazy pants. So this last year, these two things have just increased my crazy and obsession. So I let go of the food tracking, I let go of the scale, and maybe once a quarter I'll check in. I did seek outside help for a food plan. A physical recovery is very slow, so I want to make sure I'm doing all I can, and then I can let it go. I check in with her about once a quarter. And same thing, I'll track my food and get on the scale just about once a quarter to kind of check everything. And I got to watch my portion sizes because those sneak back up, which is why tracking now and then helps. But I'm a lot more peaceful without those things, and I can trust my higher power. Action plan. Mine now includes a daily meditation and a nearly all a conscious contact with my higher power. I talk to my higher power in the car. I talk to my higher power when I'm walking and whatever I'm doing. And usually it's, I call it great spirit, creator, any of those things work. And the talking is calming for me because I feel like I'm able to pray and then let it go. I talk about worries. I talk about the day. I talk about a feeling. If I see a feeling, I acknowledge it. I see you, right? I see you sadness. I see you pity. I see you, gratitude. And then it's not the emotions are separate from me, right? I can experience them and see them, but they don't get to drive the bus. My program drives the bus. My most favorite prayers really are thank you and please show me what to do. I like be with me also, be with me. I had to let some relationships go. So some of the relationships I let go because they were toxic. And some of them I've scaled way back because they're family members. I love them. So I'm detaching from the behavior and seeing them less often because that lower level of contact allows me to have self-care and well-being in a relationship, even if they have some spots that are kind of toxic. Self-care. So I'd call that an emerging skill. It's better this year than it was last year, and I'm always learning more. Today, that looks like meditation and exercise. I find ways to play. I'm a volunteer at a cat shelter, so I play with kittens every afternoon. It's a really hard job. I have a lot of hobbies. I volunteer at my church as well, and I become a lay minister, which is unusual for me. It's not a very religious religion. It's more do unto others kind of a thing. It's pretty open, but I like being of use. I've also go to women's drumming events. I go to goddess circles. I go to all kinds of interesting things, chanting, anything, people bring up that is sort of spiritual. I just say yes and go, and some of them work and some of them don't, but I just say yes and go. Acceptance of my body. About 6 months ago, I was really at the height of my frustration with the slowness of the physical recovery this time around. And I realized that it was a form of grasping. I have a disease of wanting more. So I want more recovery, right? I want it faster. So I switched over to acceptance of that trajectory and the results of my physical recovery. And I turn them over to my great spirit. I do that every day. And every day I just try to make the choices that have me have a healthier body or exercise, eating on my food plan, having an action plan. And it's a lot more peaceful just to have trust. I found a great meditation that talks about I consent. So the idea is to think about the things I'm resisting, my weight loss, how long it's taking, if I'm going to lose more weight or not, my body size, everything. And I just meditate on the words I consent. And anytime I catch myself resisting, I consent. And that's basically shorthand for that great acceptance paragraph in the big book, which goes like this. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. So I consent. That's my shorthand for the acceptance paragraph. It brings me a lot of peace, right? Buy fun clothes. So I discovered in the same time I was looking at sort of this grasping for more weight loss that I'd purchased clothes that really I thought made me look thinner and covered my hind end. So like, wrapping things around in sweaters and pulling them down to make sure they covered my hind end. And really, I wanted to let that go. I thought that was part of my surrender. So I noticed that throughout the day I was spending energy seeing what other people look like, and almost always I compared unfavorably. And I spent lots of time making sure I had a sweater covering my back end. So I let most of those clothes go to the new home, and went ahead and got some that were fun. I have shirts that have little chickens on them. I have shirts that have cats on them. I have, bright color. And no sweaters that go down below my hind end, right? That's the deal, is I need to let that go. There's a lot of shame around that. And what I realized when I started wearing those clothes and just decided I'm not gonna, I'm just uncaring about what people do or don't think about my hind end. But most importantly, I have to practice some self-love. And the minute I decided to do that, I started to feel better. I'm wearing shorts, no more sweaters and sweatshirts tied around my waist to cover, right? I'm just gonna wear the clothes I love and just be out there and trust. And it's brought me a lot of peace as well. I'm also training myself to not notice other people's bodies. Like I'm looking them in the face and smiling and then letting it go. And I'm training myself just to, be focused on greeting people and enjoying them and not so much on how they look compared to how I look, any of that. It's just a waste of energy. I'm also training myself really to have some more self-love. It's not, I'm not my body shape and size, right? That's not the all of me. Increasing my self-acceptance and love for my body and all the things it does for me, exercise, digestion, smiling, cuddling kittens, all the things I can do, right? That's it. It's my value is not how my body looks. The sum of me is not the size of my clothes. So my life today is beyond my wildest dreams. That's, I think, from the Roseanne prayer. What that looks like is I volunteer to Cat Shelter. I volunteer at my church. I help do events for intergroup. A lot of things that really, allows me to throw love around like confetti and I get it back too. And it's not like my life's perfect. It's a hot mess in places. I'm just coming out of a divorce and I have financial worries of all the things everyone else has. But I have a lot more peace around it and I have a support network in this program. And I learned in here in these rooms to just keep swimming, right? Keep it simple, keep coming back, keep putting one front in front of the other. This program really helps me have, not freedom from the storm, but peace amidst the storm. And I know I am home, even in this room. I don't know any of you, but I know I am home and I know we're all together. So thank you for helping me have a home. With that, I will pass. Thank you all for listening.